Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Went into an American Civic Services Center at 135 Front Street in Binghamton and has killed 12 or 13 people. This is a horrible situation. There's no available data on what's going on there other than the fact that lives have been lost and there is absolutely no reason or excuse for this kind of shooting and brutal attack of innocent people right here in New York State. And so on behalf of the residents of New York...
We've had enough. We heard all of the empty suits up there saying nothing all day long, as commented upon by the empty skirts. There's nothing that can be said other than guesswork, and we're going to do guesswork right now in the Savage Nation. Of course, the lead story is the 14 people killed after a shooting, a rampage in Binghamton, New York, by a 41-year-old Vietnamese man, apparently by his name. Now, there's a few things that the media is not reporting that I think are worth reporting to you. When you read that this occurred at an immigration center, it is not entirely true. First of all, it's not a U.S. government-funded immigration center. It is called the American Civic Association. The American Civic Association is a radical left-wing organization that runs things such as the Tenants' Rights Forum. They have fought against homelessness. In other words, they work to make certain that illegals become citizens. They shop citizenship applications to the government. In other words, it's a group of do-gooders, and here a Frankenstein amongst them blew up in their face, in my opinion. Now, you've been reading that he was recently laid off from IBM. What does that have to do with this story? The answer is nothing. He didn't go to IBM and shoot anybody, thank God. Terrible wherever it happens, but what's the disconnect in the idiots in the media who say the shooter was recently laid off from IBM? Oh, well, that explains why he killed 14 people at the American Civic Association. So let's use our common sense here, and then I'm going to ask you what you think is behind all of this, because all we can do is speculate. And we have an obligation as Americans to use our minds instead of waiting for the empty suits to cook up a lie. They lied to you about AIG. They lied to you about bank balances. They lied to you about borders. They lied to you about Obama. They lied to you about Iraq. They lied to you about Afghanistan. So while these liars are cooking up a big lie about what happened, we the people will talk about what we think really happened here. The American Civic Association. They ran the All Nations Ball, the Bicentennial Ethnic Festival, the Tenants' Rights Forum. In 2002, they attacked Attorney General John Ashcroft with the ACLU. They're good friends of the ACLU, by the way, complaining about increased immigration restrictions. So in other words, they're against borders, language, and culture. In other words, they're everything that we detest. Now, does that mean we're happy this happened? Of course not. But what happened? You want my guess? And it's only a guess. It's a speculation. It's a theory. It's one man's opinion. It's what you pay for. It's an educated guess. Whether or not it turns out to be so, I don't know. But here's my guess. My guess is this man was helped to become an American citizen by this group, the ACA, at some point. And either he was trying to get others from China or Vietnam into the country as citizens, and they couldn't help him or wouldn't help him, and he went berserk. I can't tell you anymore. I don't know. What do you think actually happened? The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. You know, they say in every cloud there's a silver lining. I don't see a silver lining. There's only one blessing here. And the blessing is that for about 6 to 8 hours, it's about 6 hours now, we haven't had to watch Obama crowing in Europe. We got away from the talk show host Barack Hussein Obama marching around with a microphone like he's selling himself to the world like a lowlife. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of this constant campaign of Obama's. What, he solved all of America's problems, now he's on to the world? Good luck to him. He looks very comfortable to me in France, and maybe he ought to stay there and become president of France. 1-800-449-8255. Let's take your calls. Nick in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please, any topic, but I know what you want to talk about.
Why the press is so hot on this, on a Vietnamese guy going in there and blowing people away, but when the Jewish people were killed in Florida and throughout the country, you don't see it on every station.
Well, remember about 2-3 years ago, a Muslim went into a Seattle Jewish center and killed a whole slew of innocent, unarmed women. Do you remember they covered up the shooter's name and ethnic identity and buried the story? Do you remember that one?
Absolutely. And I also, the reason they're doing this is because they're trying to detract from the people that Obama goes and hugs the Brazilian president.
I know. Obama said, I love that guy. The Brazilian president said that men with white skin and blue eyes caused the world's problems. And our leader says he loves that guy?
Yeah, because I love that guy.
Well, Medvedev of Russia said he's his new comrade. What does that tell you?
What tells me? I know what it tells me. I know he's a commie.
Thank you. That's correct. That's right. We elected a naked Marxist to the office of the presidency. The only person in the media who doesn't know that is the leprechaun, which is why they threw his green tail out of radio. Reason they threw that corned beef eating phony off the radio is because he tries to play at both ends against the middle. The whole Fox News team has become a group of wobblers there. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Pat, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Mike, I want to express my utter outrage at this man going over and bowing with his butt in the air to this prince from the...
Wait, which man? Who are you talking about? Our great esteemed Marxist president bowing to the King of Saudi Arabia as though he's his Royal Highness?
Yes. And I am absolutely outraged.
Well, wait a minute. If this man raised $900 million for you and made you president when you weren't qualified to be the president of a university, wouldn't you bow to him?
He ought to be licking his shoes, I imagine. But where is Michelle's outrage for her two girls when she must have some inkling of the barbarity under which women are treated in that dark, dark regime?
Oh, don't talk about that. You're liable to upset people in the media who don't want American women to know how Arabs treat their women.
Absolutely. I think
they don't want them to know about how wonderful women are treated in the Muslim world. You shouldn't let that cat out of the bag. Don't let that happen. You're liable to get hate mail.
Bring it on. They are not going to subjugate women in this nation by putting them in the slavery of burqas. I will not choose between a slit over my eyes or a screen over my face.
But you have to ask yourself what the men are afraid of, why they put their women in tents and cover their faces. And in the more barbaric regions of the Muslim world, they perform barbaric sexual surgery on the women. Do I have to spell it out?
You don't have to spell it out.
Well, let's get back to the shooting in Binghamton. 14 dead. The shooter, all we know is he's a Vietnamese extraction. And why did he do it? What could the motivation have been? I have a guess, I have a theory, and that's all. I do not have any factual information for you. But I trust nothing that they will tell you in the media later. They're just cooking up a scheme right now to make you not fear immigrants, illegal immigrants, not to fear anybody in the illegal immigrant racket, which this organization seems to be deeply enmeshed in. They're good friends of the ACLU. They sue the U.S. government because the government was cracking down on illegals. What do they mean he was laid off from IBM? So did he go to an IBM factory where he was laid off? No. Why did he go to the American Civic Association? Well, that's going to take all the king's horses and all the king's men to come up with that lie of how they're going to connect it, that he was an unemployed immigrant who worked hard and he was trying to live the American dream. And although he meant to shoot at IBM because he didn't yet learn the language because there wasn't enough money for multi-ethnic illegal language education, he thought ACA meant IBM in Vietnamese. What do I know what they're going to say? So we don't have to talk about that. There's another big story that you didn't see today, and that is, well, my headline is a little different. The headline in the media says that the Iowa Supreme Court has recognized homosexual marriage today. My headline is this, Gay Bulls Cow Midwesterners. Now, this is interesting. Why would the gay mafia, why has the pink hand chosen to stake out territory in America's heartland? Why have they not fought this out in bigger states The answer is because the people in the Midwest are more easily duped. That's what went on. So they shopped it to a group of degenerate perverts in the so-called Supreme Court of Iowa who said, well, we don't need a vote from you dummies. All you do is raise hogs and cows. What do you know about sophisticated things such as sodomy? So therefore, we're going to make it legal. That's all. Dave in New Hampshire, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You got it head on. Blame IBM. Blame big business as an excuse to take our guns. This won't be the end of it either. This isn't the first thing that's happened. This is one of their own people that they set up, just like we've seen in history past. He's a patsy. He got set up, and he's done this at the behest of them so they can steal our guns, and he can go on the European market and say, look, I'm doing what you guys do. Let's take all the guns away. Let's take all their rights away, and now we do everything. And if thank you for being the First Amendment guy, because the Second Amendment's the only thing that's holding up the first right now.
Well, I don't want to get into first, second, third, fourth. All I can say to you is we have a very dangerous individual in the White House who is called comrade by the Mr. Medvedev of Russia, who seems to get along a little too well with Marxists all around the globe, including domestic Marxists. And yet Fox News says he's not a socialist nor a Marxist, which explains why the leprechaun is plummeting in ratings and why the crybaby is rising up there. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. If you don't want to talk about this, I need a rock and roll song. How about you? Let's play anything, for God's sakes. It's Rock and Roll Friday.
I'm sick and tired fooling around with you.
Turn it off. It's not even funny. I'm not in one of these moods where I can do anything much today. We could do it if you want. I mean, you want to talk about... There's nothing humorous about this. Nothing. There's no humor to be had. There's no fun to be had. All of the joy has gone out of me today. The diversity shooter is what I'm calling it. I'm calling this the diversity shooter because the minute it happened, CNN was already having experts out, liberal experts, telling you how wonderful diversity was. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's open mic to Mike Friday. I'm sorry, you got some sound? Go ahead, play it.
We have had a lot of Vietnamese immigrants over the years, Vietnamese, Laotian. We've also had a lot of people from Iraq. It's a very diverse ethnic area. And
you're such a do-gooder. You really ought to pin a little halo on your head, dummy. Again, celebrating diversity after a diverse member of your community went on a rampage. Diversity. That's the new code word, diversity. All diverse people are wonderful. The only bad people are white people with blue eyes. Everyone else is wonderful to these white liberal moron, psychotic, self-hating, self-effacing. Unbelievable to me. I see a picture of Obama with thumbs up with Berlusconi, Medvedev, and the Emperor of China. And I don't know if we weren't better off during the Cold War. I'm starting to think that I felt safer during the Cold War. You know, I used to have a statement that when both parties are getting along, there's only one guarantee, and that is that the people are getting screwed. Well, the truth is the same here. When you see all the leaders of the world getting together, there's only one truism, or something you can count on for sure, and that is that they've cooked up a scheme to screw people around the planet. So as I say, we may have been actually safer during the Cold War when sane people had their fingers on the nuclear triggers around the world, rather than all of these do-gooding, wobbly socialists. And we have a socialist president, make no mistake about it. He was put in there by the international socialist money machine run by some figures I think who you're pretty clear about. I do not care what the corned beef slurper thinks. The man is a socialist slash communist. He does not have to wear a red beret, Mr. Corned Beef, for him to be a socialist. My corned beef eating friend on Fox News, who does not like to refer to our president as a socialist, I will remind you that you do no longer have to see them in red berets, marching with red flags, singing the Internacional, my friend. In fact, you have to look no further than your own network. Houston, Texas, Alan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I thought it was real interesting how I had to go on four websites before I could find out the shooter's ethnicity. And that's not even the best part. The best part was two of the articles were the same, the Yahoo and the Fox News. The Fox News had the line about the guy's ethnicity, But in the Yahoo, that line was actually taken out. It was the same article.
Well, if they could anglicize his name and turn it into Timothy McVeigh, it would solve a lot of their problems all at once.
Well, I knew after two articles and it said it wasn't a white guy, I knew that there was something fishy. So I knew there was more to the story. That's why I kept searching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Culprit found dead in building. 14 dead, 26 wounded. I mean, this guy really went on a slaughtering mission. He blocked the rear door. They call it an immigration center, making you believe it was a federal immigration center. It was not a federal immigration center. This was an assemblage of left-wing operatives, ACLUers, who shunted as many illegals into America, making them citizens by violating the laws of America. Now, what that has to do with the shooting, I haven't any idea. I have only a guess. I have a speculation, which I've already stated on the Savage Nation, and there's no point in repeating it, by the way. But if you care to talk about any other topic, again, we're open to many other topics on the Savage Nation, including the trip that the Obamas are making. I don't know. I'm getting a big ick factor out of them for two reasons. One, why are they there? What made this man think he solved our problems and he can now dance off to Europe and suddenly solve the world's problems? Something is wrong with this tour in the middle of a crisis. We were told it's the worst crisis since the 1920s. Now this worst crisis is suddenly solved because the master manipulator Obama and Michelle, his wife, his co-conspirator in propaganda, are in Europe. I'm supposed to believe the world is now safe? Something's wrong with this picture. Patty in New York, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to speak to you, sir. I just want to say one thing that I've been observing. By the way, I am a libertarian. I'm a woman in my 40s, and I'm just absolutely, utterly disgusted with what is going on. The biggest joke, I would like to reiterate what you just said, is that Michelle Obama is dancing around trying to mesmerize all the upper echelons and their wives of world leaders. I think this is preposterous.
She's not doing a very good job. The media is saying she is. I looked very carefully at her tape. She falls flat on her face when you really look at her. They presented her very, very well up until now. But when you actually look at her, her eyes look rather dead. Her speeches are dead and flat. They have no meaning, and they're not saying anything. I don't think she's doing a very good job. I think she'd do Obama a favor by, you know, kind of being a little quieter and playing a background role instead of pretending she's a co-president.
Savage.
Well, we have to figure out a way to deal with it.
Hold on, I have to introduce this. This is the Savage Nation. We are talking about the immigrant shooting massacre in Binghamton, New York, and the word immigrant must be at the front of the story, not at the back of it. And the immigrant who goes crazy and shoots 14, kills 14, wounds 23, they're trying to tell you that's something to do with him losing his job. I don't understand the connection because he didn't go to his former employer. He went to the do-gooder group that probably got him his citizenship papers. And what that has to do with the story, thus far, we do not know. However, the worst coverage today, in my opinion, the worst media coverage of this shooting today was none other than Schlepp Smith of Fix News Network. Listen to Schlepp right now.
Well, we have to figure out a way to deal with it, but you wonder, what do you do? Make the whole country an armed a fortress. We talked to people who worked inside that building for years, spoke with the former president of that building, a current employee there, spoke with a volunteer from there, people who know the place because they give so many people so many great services. They talk about festivals being held in this place. They talk about volunteers teaching people English. Immigrants who've come to this nation are going through the citizenship process. They're learning to speak English. They're learning the ways of this country. They're learning the background of this country. They're learning our history and the values on which we're founded.
Get out the violin, Schlepp. Put on a little cap and play a little violin to go with that. Again, every time there's an act of crime by an immigrant, we're regaled with the stories about how wonderful immigration is for America. It's like when the Hmong went crazy up in Wisconsin, or was it Minnesota, and he killed 14 people. Went on a little rampage, the Mr. Hmong hunter. Shot women, shot their fathers, shot them all, the Hmong up in suddenly you weren't hearing much about that story. That got buried pretty quick. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us go to the callers. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mark, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Savage, you're the most unrecognized, listened to member of the media. Here's proof. Jeff Greenfield, CBS News correspondent, spoke at my local university here in the Tulsa area and said your comments, your Savage comments, about Obama's citizenship were, quote, hateful. He spent about a minute bashing you before he said, oh, I don't listen to Savage, of course.
Well, where did he hear it from? If he says I'm such a bad guy, how did he hear about that?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. They listen.
So in other words, I'm not allowed to question anything about his leader, his supreme leader. He ought to go move to China, and he'll live in the country. Who is Jeff Greenfield? I never heard of him.
Exactly.
What, does he run a pickle store somewhere on Delancey Street? What was he doing at university? Browbeating the poor potheads there about how wonderful diversity is?
Well, I thought his speech was pretty good.
I don't care. I never heard of him. I don't even know who he is. Would they pay him $12 in car fare? Thanks for the call. Guys like that need to fly around and give speeches. I don't. I don't do speeches. I don't like speeches in front of audiences. Boring. Motel 6. Illinois. Mike, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, I'd just like to comment on the, not to take away from the story out in Binghamton, but to comment on the situation with the Iowa Supreme Court. I was born in New York, grew up in Iowa, moved there in the late 70s with my family. We refer to Iowa City as the United Nations. It's important to point out not...
Well, wait,
not,
we're talking about the fact that the illegitimate in black robes in the Iowa so-called Supreme Court legitimized homosexual marriage today. So what is your main point?
Yes, sir. My point is the comment was made that the people in the... The reason this is happening more in the Midwest is that the people are more easily duped. And I'd like to point out that that might not necessarily be the case. For instance, in a state like Iowa, you have two major Big Ten universities, one being in Ames, Iowa State University, the other one being in Iowa City.
Well, what is your point? My headline is gay bulls cow Midwesterners because they're more naive. You're disagreeing with the naive comment.
Okay, no, my point is that the state is being, the general mindset of those black robbers in the Supreme Court is being manipulated by university.
Yes, it's the same everywhere. A group of unelected, radical left-wingers in the legal profession finagle their way into judgeships. Then they wind up on a so-called state Supreme Court. Then they do what they want and what the homosexual mafia and the ACLU want, not what the people want. Isn't that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
All right, good. I almost got a headache. I mean, that's the same story over and over and over again. I told you what happened in ancient China during the Age of the Mandarins. Please give me 30 seconds. So you understand what's going on in this country in a different context. China was ahead of the world by 1,000 years. At about 1000 AD, they had six-masted sailing ships. Their technology was centuries ahead of the rest of the world. And then what happened is a small group of mandarins, it is estimated they were, I think, 40,000 in number. They were the bureaucrats. They were the government officials. They were the Democrats and Republicans of their time. They grew the long fingernails. When you say mandarins, you think of the Chinese with long fingernails sitting there stroking their long beards. They controlled every aspect of the average Chinese person's life from cradle to grave. And they started to lay down so many bureaucratic laws and penalties and taxes and red tape that they crushed the developing technology in China. They crushed the developing entrepreneurship of China. They crushed the emerging businesses of ancient China. And China fell into disrepair for over 1,000 years because of a massive Mandarin bureaucracy that arose around the year 1000 or 1100 AD. We have a Mandarin class in America that is exemplified by Obama and is exemplified by the Supreme Courts of our states, exemplified by the mayors of our cities, exemplified by big city police chiefs who can't even fire a gun in most cases, and make the men who do the actual job of constraining the bad people pay for it if they do too good a job. That's what I mean by mandarins. It went on in China, and it's strangling us today. You get it? And make no mistake about it, Obama is a mandarin in that regard. He is a mandarin. Forget racial issues. For God's sake, I don't care about it. I said it during the election. He is not too black. He is too green. This man is a starry-eyed, idealistic dreamer. That's all very well and good. But when you're a president And you have to care for your people more than you have to care for the people of the world. But you have been raised to believe that the whole world is one and all people are equal and all constitutions are the same and that you want to blend everything together into one giant omelet. We have a very dangerous situation in our hands. Karl Marx said, in order to make an omelet, you've got to break a few eggs. Let us pray that we have a strong enough constitutional government that they will not permit Obama the Mandarin to make an omelet out of this country and roll us into the New World Order omelet. Sacramento, Chris, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Michael. I wanted to say I feel as though Obama has some sort of motive. The heart of his motive is just pretty much environmentalism. I feel like in his heart he wants to stop all this, droughts, whatever, in Africa. And I think he feels like it starts with America and with,
he wants to redistribute the wealth of America and give it to those in Asia and Africa. I understand that. So you take 5 billion people on the earth, let's see, and we're only about 300 million here, right, in that number? And of the 300 million, how many productive citizens are in this country out of the 300 or so million? What would you say the productive number is when you add up the deadbeats, the criminals, the drug addicts, the stay-at-home losers, the people in rehab? How many people actually produce in this country? I couldn't estimate. It's probably not more than 50 million people are actually producing. If you add in the children, you add in the people under the age of 14, you add in the people who are not working, the prisoners, what is it, 50 million people are working, 30 to 50 million people? So he wants to take all of what we produce and disseminate it throughout the world. That's a recipe for, what did I call it during the campaign? Trickle-up poverty. Do you remember?
Yes, yeah. And I wanted to say also, it feels like the abortion laws of China have been distributed to us as well, like opening every door for any kind of abortion method of any term. It feels as though it's like,
well, in China, they abort the girl babies. Did you know that? That's something that's not generally known because it would be embarrassing for the left-wing establishment to admit that they are that sexist in China. You know that they abort girl babies in China.
I thought they could only have 2 children, and that was it.
Right. Do you know how many extra single males there are in China?
No.
30 million is the last number I read. Now, history teaches us that when a nation has a large, excessive number of single males, they usually go to war, and that's what they use the excessive male population for. Now, think about it. What if you took an army of 30 million single males without family who would be forced to die by their government? Tell me if we'd stand a chance against them without nuclear weapons. The answer is no. And here is Obama saying he'd like to have a nuclear-free world. Look, I give up. I didn't want to do this today, but I have to do this today. The shooter blocked the back door of the New York Illegal Immigrant Center, and he stormed the front door and opened fire on employees and students preparing for citizenship test. Why? Nobody knows why. Is there a reason? Was he crazy? Was he deranged? No. Is the fact that he's an immigrant from Vietnam matter? Yeah, absolutely it matters. Sure it does. If it was a Timothy McVeigh, blonde hair, blue-eyed, that's all you'd hear. Guns, 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 white, white, white. Well, my friends, the race is not the issue here. It's the open-door policy to the illegal aliens and the thousands of immigrant centers like this who are existing only to bypass the laws of this land. I see them in San Francisco, and I fume when I walk by them. They're all run by verminous left-wing lawyers, either from Berkeley or New York City, and they think that they're doing good, but in fact, they're doing is simply to line their own pockets, by the way. San Francisco, KNEW, Anthony, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. I thank God for you and your forum to talk about things that reporters don't report for one reason or another. I'm a victim of a Ponzi scheme out here, and in the county that it happened in, the district attorney did not want to prosecute the offender who had been an offender in several different arenas. For lack of resources.
Well, what does that have to do with today's program?
Well, I think it's a cause and effect.
Anthony, if it's not related to this topic, if you want to relate it to the topic, I'll give you 10 seconds to do that.
All right. Well, I think there's a cause and effect. There's the people in our counties aren't doing their job. They're not.
I hear you, but I don't see it related to the hard news of the day, and we need to stay focused, and I'm apologetic in that regard. Milwaukee, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
He's not a starry-eyed dreamer, Michael. This is all very calculated. You're the one who enlightened us to people in his background during the campaign, like Frank Marshall Davis and William Ayers, and it's very clear that he knows exactly what he's doing.
Oh, you're talking about Obama, the socialist slash Marxist, and his connections to Bill Ayers and the other Marxists, and his upbringing at the feet of Marxists in Hawaii. Yeah, I understand it, Larry. The only good news is that he's out of the country for a few days, which is actually a relief for all of us, number one. And number two, the old guard in the Democrat Party has gotten wind of the fact that the man is a dangerous demagogue and he may be out of control. I have no way to confirm what I just said. My suspicions tell me that the old guard Democrats recognize the danger this guy is to the Republic. Now, they used him to get reelected. You got to understand that. They took a calculated risk with this starry-eyed leftist. And now that they're in office, I'm not so sure they're happy. I think that they have a buyer's remorse here with Obama. Well, as I said to you before many times, the only people who can save us from Obama's excesses are the Democrats themselves. You get it? New York City, Jan, topic, please. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Hello. About what happened today in New York.
Yes.
This man that did this, I'm wondering, he worked for IBM, so I'm just assuming he worked for IBM, he would be legal. They would have probably checked him out carefully. What I was
Well, hold on. That's not true. Many of these workers come in on H-1B visas, which are a way around immigration laws so that companies like IBM and others can hire foreigners for half the wages that they would have had to pay an American computer programmer. I know that for a fact. I watched them destroy the native workforce in the state of California in the San Jose area. They were bringing in tens of thousands of people from India, from Taiwan, from China, who would willingly work for $25, $30 an hour and firing American workers who were making $60 an hour. And it was done because of the greed of the owners of companies.
Okay. So then I'm thinking when he went over to this place and where these people were going to be into the job market, right? These were people who were trying to be citizens.
Oh, you're saying he was trying to stop competition? No, wouldn't worry. He's not going to just randomly kill people because they might work. Something's wrong with this picture, and we don't know what it is. Something's wrong with that picture. Is anyone listening to the show from Binghamton who can tell us anything more about this man, IBM, or this center? Please call us at 1-800-449-8255. If you're listening to me in New York City and Binghamton, you're hearing me on WOR out of New York, no doubt. And I'm going to invite callers who know something about this immigrant center, something about this IBM plant, or something about this man. Bill in Binghamton, New York. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I'm from Binghamton. I was a former employee at IBM, and I can only guess that recently, IBM laid off 5,000 people from their global services division,
mm-hmm.
and the reason they laid them off had nothing to do with the fact that the company wasn't doing well, because actually IBM stock is around $100 a share. So
okay, but why would this guy laid off go to an immigrant center?
Because IBM came out and said, we're laying these 5,000 people off, not because we're not doing well, we just want more profit.
But wait, but why would he go to an immigrant center? In other words, if the guy's crazy and loses his job, wouldn't he go to the company that fired him?
I think he probably...
We can't even think how a crazy person thinks. That's the problem here, Bill. We're not crazy, so we don't know what went on in the crazy man's mind. By the way, my Binghamton, New York affiliate is WNBF. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Open mic to Mike Friday on the Savage Nation, and there's no point in trying to make a nice time out of it with easy rock and roll. I can't do it because you can't make a light day out of a really bad day. And I'm going to take your calls on any topic, either something from today or from the week, Jackie O versus Michelle O, the G20, the shooting in New York, whatever you want to talk about. But there was a great article that I didn't get to yesterday from the American Spectator by Quinn Hillier called Il Duce Redu, and it's about Obama as a reincarnation of Il Duce, who was the fascist dictator of Italy. Now, listen before you criticize it. I'm going to read you one paragraph. Trying to handle the crisis, the fascist government nationalized the holdings of large banks, which had accrued significant industrial securities. The government also issued new securities to provide a source of credit for the banks and began enlisting the help of various cartels. The government offered recognition and support to these organizations in exchange for promises that they would manipulate prices in accordance with government priorities. A number of mixed entities were formed, whose purpose it was to bring together representatives of the government and of the major businesses. The economic model based on a partnership between government and business was soon extended to the political sphere in what came to be known as corporatism. The fascists began to impose significant tariffs and other trade barriers. Various banking and industrial companies were financially supported by the state. The national leader created the new governmental entity, which soon controlled 20% of the nation's industry through government-linked companies. The national leader also adopted a Keynesian policy of government spending on public works to stimulate the economy. Public works spending tripled to overtake defense spending as the largest item of government expenditure. Quinn Hillier writes and says, as much as that description sounds like U.S. government policy begun under George W. Bush and now greatly expanding under Barack Obama, the above passage describes the economics of fascist Italy in the 1930s as summed up by Wikipedia. A quick Google search produces plenty of similar summaries of economic fascism. Furthermore, quote, the fascist conception of life, Mussolini wrote, stresses the importance of the state and accepts the individual only insofar as his interests coincide with the state. It is opposed to classical liberalism, which denied the state in the name of the individual. Fascism reasserts the rights of the state as expressing the real essence of the individual, close quote. And this is why I keep trying to appeal to you idiot liberals out there who do not even understand that you're leading us into fascism without even knowing it. You people who want individual liberty to do as you will don't even understand that your best friends are found in the savage nation, not in the Obama administration. What you don't understand is that right now we're being painted as the enemies of freedom, when in fact we are the last bastions of freedom in America. This is the savage nation. Be here or be a dummy.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation for April 3, 2009. The lead story, of course, is this perplexing shooting by an immigrant, a Vietnamese immigrant, at a so-called immigrant center, which is really an illegal immigrant center. It has nothing to do with the government. Not that the government itself isn't an illegal immigrant center, but let's put that aside. This do-gooder immigrant center is a one-stop shop for those who would like to become citizens. That's what it's all about. It's an ACLU type of organization. What that has to do with the shooting, I don't know. The man, they said, worked for IBM. What does that have to do with the shooting? I don't know. We don't know. And that's why I say there's nothing more to be said about it. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'd rather talk about virtually anything else that is on your mind, either things we covered this week or that we didn't cover this week or that you'd like us to cover today. Let's start in New York City, WOR. Stewart, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, when you have a media that's a bunch of whores, when you have a fraud in the White House, where's the hope? I mean, you talk about trying to turn the country around.
Where's the hope? Didn't you just get a man elected? Didn't we see a man filled with hope and change elected? Why don't you feel positive about that? He represents hope, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He certainly is recommending. He represents hope for Russia and China. There's no question about it.
Hope I can live without. But look, Mike, I'm 54. I don't have that many years left, but by time I'm done, I don't see this country being anything like it was.
Why do you guys at 54 think that you're going to die? Why do you think you have one foot in the grave? I don't understand that, Stuart. Why do you feel old?
Humor? I don't know.
That's I'm going to deal with this for one minute, Stuart. I want to know why you think at 50 you're old. Why do you get that feeling?
No, I don't think I'm old. I just think, hey, 30 years went by so fast, and 30 years...
All right, how long do you think you expect to live?
Maybe another 30 years, God willing.
Okay, so you think you can make it to 75, 80?
Yeah, I think I got it.
All right, I think that's a realistic assumption. I don't know anything about your genetics, but I thought you were feeling like you had a foot in the grave. You're saying by the time you leave the earth, you think this country's going to be what?
Turn it off. It's depressing. Where's the country going? The country's shot. What's left?
Well, what you're saying is, can we ever come back from this propaganda and this left-wing juggernaut that has taken over the country is what you're really saying.
There's no coming back. I don't see
There's no coming back. You actually think it's over?
Yes, I do believe.
You know, I want to go back to last week when I was roundly depressed because of the shootings of four police officers in Oakland by a crackhead. There was more sympathy for the crackhead than there was for the police by the vermin in the media. That you know.
We'll go to the funeral of the killer. So this
yes,
is the country.
That's right. That's right. All the wolf blitzers of the world try to make you think there was moral equivalence between the crackhead who shot the cops and the cops who left their families, grieving families. Yes, you're right. With the media being what it is, it's very difficult to perceive a change occurring. However, I'm an eternal optimist. As pessimistic as I may sound some days, for some reason, I don't have as much pessimism as you may believe.
I think you have optimism, but I don't see the reason for the optimism. Everything we see causes me to be pessimistic, a realistic, which is that things are not going to get better.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. My son sees the world the way you do, and he's a lot younger than me, and I argue with him sometimes, and I say, come on. He said, Dad, you don't understand. It can't be helped. He said, it's over. He said, it's get the rich, get the white people. Everyone's attacking white people, making them the demon all of a sudden on the planet. You know, and you want to talk about race for a minute? I recently had conversations with policemen who tell me that ever since Obama got elected, gangbangers are coming up to the saying and smirking, we're soon going to have your jobs. We're going to have your jobs. We're going to run this country. They're saying that to them as they're being arrested. Do you know that?
Surprising. My father had his hip shot out in World War II by a sniper. 2 years in a full body cast. For what? So his children and grandchildren could be discriminated against?
Well, I met a policeman whose father recently passed away at 83, who almost froze to death during the Battle of the Bulge in one of the forests there. They were abandoned on the battlefield. His father was left to die. And he laid there with his legs freezing in the snow. He was rescued at the last minute. He lived in a hospital for 9 months. And they didn't know if they'd have to amputate his legs. Day by day, they would check, not knowing they cut his feet off. But the man came back from that and went to a wonderful life in the Midwest and raised a wonderful family. And you have to ask yourself, what for? Well, his son is a police officer who takes on some gangbangers, not afraid of them. And when he does, and he does his job, his police chief castigates him for doing his job. They are fighting the police chiefs right now. Do you know that?
Mike, you're damn right, and I always repeat your saying, white males and dogs need not apply. I mean,
well, I don't take it, though. I'm not going to accept it. When we have a police chief in San Francisco who cannot fire a gun, who is not qualified with a pistol in 2 years, who is surrounded by lesbian feminists, when we have a police chief in San Francisco who is a lesbian feminist, and you have brave, strong men having to answer to these fools, I ask you, what has to happen till the people wake up and say enough is enough? Something could trigger something, Stuart. At some point, the country comes back. The pendulum always swings, Stuart.
No. Did Rome come back? Rome fell. America's going to fall. That's how
I don't see the comparison. There are comparisons in terms of the lack of morality between ancient Rome and ancient Greece and America. We've all seen that. There's no question about it. But economically, I think Rome was in better shape than we are.
At every college, it's at every high school.
Oh, yes. The children, for example, when I have this argument, I'm told by someone very close to me, he said, Dad, you don't understand. The children have been brainwashed for 5 to 10 straight years about global warming, which is a myth. They have turned them into little eco-fascists who are worried about their cell phone charges burning up the rainforests. They are worried about that to the point that they'll turn their own parents into an Obamaite who says how much electricity is being used by your parents. I understand that.
So where's the hope?
I don't know. I have it. Maybe it's just inherently natural in me. Here, I'll give you a hopeful story. How's that? You want hope?
Guy.
I'm giving you a hopeful story today on Friday, something to carry with you for the weekend. Endangered right whales appear to be on the rebound. Now, that's an interesting story because according to Al Gore, they should all be dead. So there's a group of whales called the right whales, a very small in number. They were almost hunted to extinction. But this year they gave birth to 39 new whales, one of the all-time records, and it gives scientists hope that this troubled species is on the rebound. Isn't that hopeful?
Wonderful, and I love that. But what's going to happen?
Well, okay, what that says is if man gets out of the way, nature will somehow replenish itself. Now, of course, that means you have to stop hunting whales, but go tell that to the Japanese, who consider it their birthright, or go tell that to the Inuit, the whale killers from the Alaska area, that they have a right to slaughter whales because it's in their culture. You know what? There's a lot of things in people's cultures that have to be put down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, clitorectomy is a part of the culture of Ethiopia, but nobody believes we should let them come over here and cut their girls to ribbons, right? It's time to tell the Inuits to stop killing whales. Stop with the double talk about the ivory that you really want to sell for a bundle on the black market.
It's insanity.
I know. Well, okay. I just got a sore throat. I'm sucking on a zinc drop. Terribly depressing. I'm trying to be happy. I have to dig up a story about a whale now. Whales, you hear them, the whale sounds, you can start, you want to weep? You want to be a depressive and kill yourself? Go get a DVD, a video of whales talking to each other. You want to jump off a building. It's unbelievable to me. Why do they call the species the white whale? You want to really get sick now? It comes from the fact that this species was called the right whale because it was the right whale to kill during the whaling era. Why? It harbors thick layers of valuable blubber beneath the skin. You hear this? And the whales are so chunky that they float quickly to the surface after they're harpooned. Wonderful. So they were almost killed to the point of extinction, and only 400 of the marine mammals are thought to exist. So they're one of the most endangered large whale species in the world. So they found 39 new whale calves, and all the do-gooders are floating around them in red rafts, bothering them, of course. But that's the way the world is today. So we got to hope that these little babies live to age 4 or 5 when they can reproduce. And that's it. You know how most of the fortunes in New England were built, by the way, on whaling? You'll find that to be true. And also on the importation, the transportation of opium to China, by the way. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of Obama's heroes. I mean, this has nothing to do with Obama, but I'm giving you an example. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our first socialist president, FDR. His middle name, of course, is Delano. It comes from the maternal side. The Delano family made their original fortune in New England through a large fleet of ships that brought opium into China to keep the people subjugated. That was the beginning of the FDR fortune. I'll be right back.
Savage.
An American Civic Services Center at 135 Front Street in Binghamton and has killed 12 or 13 people. This is a horrible situation. There's no available data on what's going on there other than the fact that...
They're getting their storyline together, so it's less, you know, about immigrants and more about the evils of America who failed him. Somehow America failed him, and he slipped through the cracks. Had there only been more social services, perhaps he wouldn't have picked up that gun. Had there been even more do-gooders kissing his butt, he never would have shot anybody. It's a failure of the system. We all failed him. That'll come up tomorrow. New York City, WOR. Michael, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you, Mr. Savage? Hi, I just wanted to say... Hello, are you there?
Would you stop breaking my behind already? 8 times you're asking me a question. You're on the air. Talk already.
All right, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I just think that you guys are being a little bit too hard on Mr. Obama. The guy just got in there. You know, it's like when Bush was in there, you guys are complaining about the money that Obama is spending. At least he's spending money.
Sir, how far did you go in school? Was it the fifth grade or the sixth grade?
I graduated college. But I'm
Which college was it? Darfur University?
I went to Rutgers in New Jersey.
Well, that explains it. I mean, you don't even understand economics to understand what this man has done. Let me ask you something. Let's take math 101 together. Bush spent $1 trillion, put us in a hole $1 trillion. Is that correct?
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's correct. So Obama says, I inherited $1 trillion worth of debt, and I'm going to cure it by taking on $3 trillion in debt. Is that your idea of sanity?
No, but Bush spent a lot of money, too, you know, on foreign
Again, I don't think you went to Rutgers. I think you were the janitor at one of the departments in Rutgers. You didn't even hear what I just said to you. I just said Bush spent $1 trillion of debt.
Okay.
So Obama's answer is to spend $3 trillion. That makes sense to you?
I mean, at least he's spending the money here to put America, get the economy going again.
You see, you're an idiot, okay? You're a moron. You're an absolute idiot, which is why we have this charlatan for president. It's because of idiots like you that we have this charlatan in the White House. You can't even follow a discussion.
I am following you.
All right, someone's lecturing. I can hear in the background someone's talking to him. They get someone with a mild foreign accent, and they tell them what to say to make them, you're supposed to feel guilty that you're a racist. So, you know, I don't mind that you were a janitor in a broom closet in Rutgers, but please don't step into the Savage Nation and expect me to say you're a nice guy simply because you have a foreign accent. I wouldn't care if you did have a foreign accent, but at least you can hold an argument. Let's take it a step at a time. Bush, I called a fiscal socialist a year ago. Everyone who listens to this show knows that. So don't say you guys. The minute you put me in a category with guys like the golfer, right away you get my ire up. For a year I've been telling you that Bush was a fiscal socialist. I said that a year ago. He was spending us into poverty. I warned America over and over and over again. He's a fiscal socialist, Bush. So now Obama comes in and he says, no, I inherited $1 trillion of a deficit. True. Bush was a fiscal socialist. So I'm going to solve it not by cutting back on spending, but by tripling it. Okay? Can we talk about something else? Give me some rock and roll. I'm getting depressed now talking to all the depressed. I feel like I'm culling the mollusks of the talk world now. The net hit the bottom of the mud now. We're getting the mollusks. You know, they've been laying in the cadmium too long. I wouldn't even eat the mollusks down in that bed. I had a very good linguine tutamari last night. Instantly, it reacts in me. I don't understand. Go play it. It's okay. I'm going to talk about food for a minute. I had a linguine tutamari that was actually very good. Right away, you know, it's terrible. It's like a bad Jackie Mason joke. I had to sit where the restaurant, the area was closed. I said, can I sit there? It's quiet. He said, that's closed. I said, I'll take it. It's quieter. Then I said, it's too close to the kitchen. He said, you picked it. I said, that's okay, but I don't want to be close to the kitchen in the section that's closed. I want to sit in the back of the section that's closed, not near the kitchen. So they opened it up for me. Then I said, oh, I want the linguine tutamari, but not with spicy sauce. He said, that's how it comes. I said, I can't eat it with spicy. I don't like spice at 10:30 at night. It was actually very good, but it was the scallops are the giveaway, by the way, in any seafood dish. They can trick you up with shrimp. Shrimp can be tricked up. It's very difficult to trick up a scallop, by the way. But I laid in bed last night. It was a nightmare. I didn't know who was in the bed with me. It's the shellfish. It's like natural Viagra. It's a nightmare, that stuff. What do you think the people had this folklore? It's the high zinc content, of course. You know that. Probably some other things, God knows. It wasn't the spice because there was none. Would you like to talk about food for a minute to have some fun? It's Friday night. You're going to go out this weekend? How about those gift packages I talked about this week that I got? You know, with the nuts and the bad cheese and the bad wine. I mean, I have some fading paint in the back of my porch. I was thinking of using the red wine for that because I certainly wouldn't serve it to guests. I wouldn't even serve it to guests. It was so bad. San Diego Tracy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. A breakup job. Okay, this is my ancestry. This is one of these days where I'm gasping for air. I feel like a fish that's pulled out of the water already. It's like we're culling the mollusks of the talk world today. What's going on? Where are the people out there who want to talk about something? Isn't there someone with a cogent statement about anything? Normally, I'm very calm during a radio show. I get excited, but I got sweaty palms right now. I got sweaty palms. I got a mild tachycardia. My face is red. Well, the story today was a horror, a nightmare, the shooting, and no one knows why. They're trying to patch it together like an insane asylum. He's a Vietnamese immigrant, fired from IBM. Instead of going to IBM, he goes to an immigrant center who helped him become a citizen. So what do you put to it? They wouldn't bring in the whole village? Is that it?
Savage.
I'm going to start out with what we do know, and there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of misinformation.
They don't know what to say. You can't ridicule anybody. You know, they don't know what the guy did. You can't figure out a crazy man, so they're trying to patch it together, number one, then come up with a double talk story, number two. Whatever they do, they're going to sweep aside the fact that he was an immigrant, and they're going to try to make this center into something wholesome and wonderful, when, in my opinion, it's these centers that are the problem by bringing in so many immigrants to begin with. And particularly because they're violating, in most cases, the laws of the land. So if you want to talk about it, I don't know what more I can say about it. Let's talk about Obama better. Let's talk about America. Do you have hope for the future of America? Let's go there. Do you want to talk about the future of America? Do you think this ship can be righted? Do you think there is still hope for this country with so many anti-white immigrants coming into this country who want to take it over? You want me to level with you? I will level with you. I have never seen so many millions of people coming into this country who are so ungrateful as I do now. I have never seen such anti-white hatred in my life as I do now. I have never heard such anti-white rhetoric passing for civil conversation as I do now. Let us go, for example, to the middle of the week when that low Brazil communist bum, friend of Obama, had the nerve to say that all of the world's problems were caused by people with blonde hair and blue eyes, white skin and blue eyes. You have that one ready? No, searching after search, because I just came up with it. I built it up long, figuring that they would hear me and be searching as I'm building. I gave them an extra breather, but they couldn't find it in time, so forget it. But today Obama says that that guy from Brazil is a great guy. I love that guy. You hear this? Like out of a mafia movie. I love that guy. What's there to love about a guy who hates white people? In other words, if the enemy of my friend is my friend, is that it? I don't like the drift. I don't like the drift of this guy. I don't like the rhetoric of Obama. I don't like the policies of Obama. I don't like him saying I got $1 trillion of debt from Bush, so I'll triple it, and that's my solution. And people think that's a solution. Has he created one job yet? Anyone out there been employed by Obama? Anyone whose car has been fixed by Barney Frank? Still don't have it. Still searching. Oh, that happens. Sacramento Rich, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, I just wanted to speak back to that gentleman that was calling in whining. He's 54 years old, and oh, my God, it's all over, and everything's going down the toilet. I'm older than he is. I plan on making better than 100 years old, and you know what? We've been running around the world for years picking people up that wouldn't fight for their own freedom. And what's going on here? There's nobody is going to fight for us. So children, you better quit whining, quit crying in your Wheaties, and start standing up for yourself. And if it comes to the point where you have to lose your life over it, then by God, is it worth it? I've got a grandbaby, I've got my kids, I've got another grandbaby on the way. They're worth it. Come on, kids. Get your back up. Buck up a little bit.
Well, that's why I get up every day. I'm not ready to roll over for these illegitimate who have taken over the country. Remember that statement in ancient Rome? Someone brought up ancient Rome before, which was non illegitimate, non caberundum. I learned that in high school, Rich.
It's
illegitimate, non caberundum. Don't let the you-know-whats get you down, is what they said. Grind you down. Illegitimate, non caberundum. Don't let the bastards grind you down. And there's no word that is, it's not a dirty word, bastard, okay, by the way. Illegitimate non caberundum. Don't let the illegitimates grind you down. And that's what's going on in America today. This diversity nightmare is trying to grind white America into the mud. The very people who welcomed them, the very people who extended a hand of friendship, the very people who gave them their very first taste of freedom, they want to stab in the back. You don't like what you're hearing? It's too bad, because this is the plain truth, what you're hearing on the Savage Nation. Now, I understand that we're not allowed to talk this way in the diverse America that we live in, but fortunately for you, I am a free man living in a free country. I have not been gelded yet. I don't work for Fox News. Let's hear the Brazilian president, Obama's great guy.
It is a crisis created and expanded by irrational behavior by white people with blue eyes, who before the crisis thought they knew it all.
Now, so far as I know, Soros is not a white man with blue eyes. I don't know the color of his eyes. I would also guess that Madoff has not got blue eyes. I would also guess that Geithner doesn't have blue eyes. I would also guess that there are a number of people of color who caused the crisis, such as those in Africa who have sacked all of the benefits that have been sent to them by the civilized world and have robbed all of the benefits for the poor for their own self-aggrandizement. I would also say that if you look in Brazil itself, you will see an overclass that's not simply people with white skin and blue eyes, but an overclass of people who are just criminal in their behavior. And it has nothing to do with race. But here you go. The race hatred has begun. The race wars have begun. And our president has the nerve today to say that he loves that guy? Play this clip again. I want to hear it.
It is a crisis created and expanded by irrational behavior by white people with blue eyes, who before the crisis thought they knew it all.
I see. So all the villains of history are white people with blue eyes. Would that include Idi Amin? Would that include the Tutus and the Hutsis and the Tutus in Africa who slaughtered each other with machetes? I mean, what kind of statement is made like this other than by a deranged socialist, which we understand South America is filled with, but that our president would say, I love that guy, indicates to me that Obama is on the same plane behind the scenes. Kansas City, Mick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Our country's been given away, and it makes me want to throw up. I puke in my mouth every day, and it just is driving me nuts.
Well, go talk to some of the cops on the streets of Kansas City, and you'll see what they face. They are being stared at now that Obama's president. You want the naked truth? Gangbangers are looking at cops in the face and saying, your time is coming. We're going to take your jobs. You'll have nothing. We're going to have your jobs and your houses soon. They're laughing at the cops now. They feel empowered. Do you know that?
It's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. It's dangerous. It's how revolutions begin. It's how civil wars begin. Pennsylvania, Dustin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I do believe that America has seen her end. And let me...
Oh, God, another one. What do you mean the end? It's the end of the world now?
No, not the end of the world.
Let me ask you something. What, did the Prozac shipment from the government not arrive? It's April 3rd?
Let me explain from a biblical standpoint of view.
All right, let's go. That's fine. I'll take that. That at least is somewhat based on something rational.
And I'm an astute Bible reader, and let me explain why. God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham, and he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee.
Okay,
and you know,
amen to that. I'll bless them that bless me, and I'll curse them that curse me. Beautifully put. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Absolutely. Straight from a King James Bible. And he made that covenant knowing very well that it was unconditional. There was not an agreeing party to it. George Bush slit our throat when he gave tracts of Israel away. Other presidents have done the same thing. And in this roadmap to peace, which was
a roadmap to pieces of Israelis. That's what it was. Roadmap to pieces of Israelis.
Yeah, and that's just a bunch of hogwash is all it is.
Well, you're an evangelical Christian who believes in the Jewish state. There's no question about it. You are the best friends Israel has. And isn't it strange that you are mocked and laughed at by so many members of the Jewish community? You want me to, again, be the naked truth sayer here?
Well, it doesn't matter what they say, because the Bible had it in print before they were even born. And
I'm a Bible-loving man. I mean, I'm not a biblical absolutist, because if I were, I'd have to stone various people to death. I'd probably have to stone myself to death. Thank you for the call. And last thing I want to do is stone myself to death. I realize many Americans get stoned. It's the same thing as stoning yourself to death. So there are the vermin now celebrating twisted, perverse marriage in the middle of America. calling it a victory. It's a victory for perversion, in my opinion. Every time you want me to tell you what makes me sick? When I see two puffy white males kissing each other, I want to puke. When I see two women kissing each other on the lips as lovers, I want to vomit. Why? It's unnatural. It's against all of the laws of mankind. It is against all of the laws of humankind. It is suicide for a society to embrace such behavior. Now, do we have to accept such behavior in a free and open democratic society? I suppose we do. But we don't have to say that we bless your marriages. That is asking the state to sanctify what should not be sanctified. The state should support that which is wholesome and beneficial to the state. And that would be a normal marriage between a man and a woman who raised children. That's what happens in a sane society. But when a society goes insane and goes off the rails, they celebrate perversity and diversity. That's my opinion. It's my own opinion. It's one man's opinion. It's a talk show. It's not illegal to say what I just said. Okay? I've been punished for saying it for the last 15 years. But I'll continue to say it until the day I die. Because I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I know where north is. I know where south is. I know where up is. I know where down is. I know what right is. I know what wrong is. I know what sane is. I know what insane is. I know what perversity is. And I know what diversity is. And I know that gay marriage is not as good, not as sane, not as right. Absolutely wrong for the future of America. It is a disaster. It has nothing to do with human rights. These people have brainwashed themselves into believing that anyone who opposes homosexual marriage is a bigot. When, as far as I am concerned, the whole concept is insane and an oxymoron, by the way. A man cannot marry a man. A woman cannot marry a woman. The word marriage inherently implies the marriage of opposite sexes. Look in the animal kingdom. And you know, this goes to the whole discussion of what we have become as a species altogether. This is not the first generation of people who think that they have transcended the zoological order. It's interesting to me that the homosexual community, particularly this segment of it that wants homosexual marriage pushed down the throats of every American, thinks that they have transcended the zoological order itself and have become gods unto themselves. It is narcissism, by the way. You want me to go into the psychology of homosexuality? It is the ultimate expression of narcissism. It is individuals who are unable to identify with a member of the opposite sex because they do not look like them in a gender manner. You want me to go into that, or is that something you can't read anymore in a book? See, I'm trained classically in psychology, and I understand the world the way it really is for most of the world. And there's not a religion on earth that would disagree with one word I just said. There is not a society on earth that will survive that disagrees with the word I just said. Why am I talking about it today? Because it's in the news today. Why is it in the news today? Because gay bulls cowed Midwesterners. They shopped homosexual marriage to a group of radical activist ACLU judges in the Iowa Supreme Court who said that the ban on gay marriage passed by the people is unconstitutional. So in other words, these jerks, these lawyers in filthy black robes, say that they are the ultimate decider of what is good and what is evil. They, the vermin with law degrees, with black robes, told the people to drop dead in Iowa. That offends me as an American. It goes to an article I read earlier. And I'm going to get it for you again, so you liberal morons finally understand the danger you're putting us all in. I will read it to you again. What is fascism? Well, we have to go back to a few nations to understand it. In Italy, there was a fascist dictator named El Duce who did exactly what Obama has been doing, which is nationalizing some banks, etc., which I read to you before. But I want to read you the definition of fascism. The fascist conception of life, Mussolini wrote, stresses the importance of the state and accepts the individual only insofar as his interests coincide with the state. It is opposed to classical liberalism, which denied the state in the name of the individual. Mussolini continued. He said, fascism reasserts the rights of the state as expressing the real essence of the individual. In other words, the judges in Iowa are the state. They are not liberals. They are fascists. They are opposed to classical liberalism. They are saying the state shall dictate to the individual what the state wants to do is what the individual will do. That's what homosexual marriage has become. An utter and absolute representation of liberals who are, in essence, fascists. That's my opinion. Billings, Montana, Adrian, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, about the guy who, with the hope, we lost hope and all this stuff. And as an immigrant, my parents are immigrants. I'm the youngest of six. I'm a physician. I'm absolutely enraged. My dad came here because he couldn't find potatoes. That's where he drew the line. And I see socialism.
Well, in what country was that?
Eastern Bloc. Romania.
Oh, boy. Well, you've come back to the Eastern Bloc. It's emerging under Obama.
I have, and it's absolutely sickening. And I tell people at work, people wake up, and they're so passive.
Adrian, it's people like you who understand who Obama is. The Americans are naive politically. It doesn't mean they're evil. They're naive children. Most Americans are politically naive children. They have been brainwashed by the media into seeking only orgasmic pleasures, entertainment, the immediate gratification of yesterday. All they want is a visit to Disneyland and something sugary. And so they don't even understand what they're voting for. They don't even understand what they elected. They have no idea because they have no education in understanding what communism is, what socialism is, what fascism is. They don't understand what it is to live in a nation where there is no potatoes.
You know, it's funny because, you know, the first vacation that my dad took me to was to see Carter's house. And obviously, you know, I'm, you know, conservative, but that's his first vacation because he knew what this country meant and he loved it. And I love this country. And my dad, he's got a heavy accent. He flies the American flag and...
Well, that's exactly what America used to be built upon. Now they come over and they say, me immigrant, you racist, I sue ACLU. That's if they don't already have a gang tattoo on their forehead. What we need are more immigrants from Europe, and we need fewer immigrants from other parts of the world. That's what made America great. That's what will save America. That's my opinion. We need more immigrants from Europe, fewer immigrants from Asia, fewer immigrants from Africa. That's my opinion. Is that illegal to believe? Show me one nation that's accepted masses of immigrants from Asia and Africa that has thrived. Show me one European nation that has accepted wave after wave of immigrants from Africa and Asia that has thrived. Show me one. I'll be back.
Savage.
Out this hour with a trivial story. Madonna goes to Africa to adopt a child. The court turns it down. So they're running a headline. No mercy for Madonna. Did the private jet, the Chateau Lafitte, and the displays of obscene wealth turn a nation against her? No. Who in the world is going to go to Africa and adopt a child? Someone who has no money? A broken down person from a poverty neighborhood in Mississippi is going to get there by Freedom Bus? You know, this is insanity. This class warfare. I have nothing to say that's negative about Madonna. She likes children from poverty nations. She gives them a good life. What is wrong with that? Tell me what's wrong with her adopting a child from whatever, Malawi. Tell me what's wrong with it. She wanted to adopt a child to be a companion to her other African child. So the idiot judge turns it down. According to one source, Madonna screamed, "What?" when he told her the judge's decision. She was in shock, so they appealed it. Who do you expect is going to go to Africa and adopt poor black children, but somebody with money? Actually, my hat goes off to her. She gives them a super life. What is the problem here? Can anyone explain to me what the problem here? Madonna holds her adopted son, David, on Monday as they meet the boy's biological father, Yohane Banda. The father looks real happy. He's real happy that he got the burden off his back. He probably couldn't feed the child, let alone give him an education. The child was guaranteed to have a horrendous life in his own country. But here again is the class warfare and the hatred. And they show a handwritten sign of a grown man in the country holding up a sign saying, "Adopt me! Adopt me!" High court, again, a moronic judge. No, you can't have a child because why? Oh, you fly on a private jet. No, she should come there on a Greyhound bus. Oh, you shouldn't come on a private jet, and you shouldn't be drinking Chateau Lafitte in the lodge while you're waiting. She has flown in 9 bottles of Chateau Smith Olifaut 2000. $90 a bottle, big deal. That's her business. She earned it. She's a princess of pop. She didn't take it from anybody. She's not Obama. No one gave it to her. She's not Michelle. She didn't get here by affirmative action. I don't happen to like her entertainment. She's not my style, but she earned every dime. And you know what? If she wants 10 children and the parents say yes, it's not the court's business to say no. That's my final word in the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been talking about today on the Savage Nation. Of course, the shooting in Binghamton, this is directly tied to liberalism gone crazy. Why do I say that? Because the civic center that hosted the shooter was a classic liberal organization. They taught classes on how to break the law to become citizens. And their leftist dream blew up in their faces. A Vietnamese shooter killed at least 13 people at the immigration center today. That's in spite of their do-gooderism. None of it was enough to stop the hatred of this lunatic. The only bright spot in this dark day is that the media's worship of Obama has come to a grinding halt for at least 24 hours, because, as you well know, if it bleeds, it leads. The other story today is gay bulls con Midwesterners. The Iowa Supreme Court shoved gay marriage down the throats of the decent people of Iowa today. Why do you think the gay mafia is targeting the Midwest instead of the more liberal coasts? Finally, we talked about Obama's arrogance. Obama today said that the U.S. has been arrogant towards Europe. Wow. Who do you think is more arrogant, the United States, Europe, or Obama himself? On to other topics. Gay bulls cow Midwesterners. The gay activists, mafia, whatever you want to call them, has now staked out territory in America's heartland. You see, today the Iowa Supreme Court unanimously overturned the ban on homosexual marriage. Once again, the will of the normal, decent people has been overturned by the stenchers from the benchers. What is strange about this particular outrage is the location. In the past, the pink hand has always struck where it was strongest, in places like San Francisco, California, Massachusetts, New York. Now the gay mafia is muscling into the Midwest. This is part of their larger strategy. While the voters of Iowa would never vote in gay marriage, the political structure in a state such as Iowa is more vulnerable to the attack of a virus like the pink hand. The courts and other political structures in America's heartland may not be as sophisticated as those in the big cities, or at least are not as used to attacks from this type of enemy. They have not yet developed an immunity to the disease. So it looks as though the bulls have moved into the areas where the people are most easily cowed. Now the gay mafia claim before the Iowa Supreme Court that the ban on gay marriage violated the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection under the law. But let me remind you, gay marriage is not equal. It is different. It is unnatural. And regardless of how many black-robed moron perverts say differently, it will never be natural or equal. And the people of Iowa and the Midwest will never let it be shoved down their throats without a fight. The diversity shooter is the lead story today. How many times have I told you on this program that diversity is perversity? How many times have I warned you that all immigrants don't come here to work? Well, by now you've no doubt heard about the deadly shooting rampage that occurred at the American Civic Association in Binghamton, New York. Well, now, who is the American Civic Association? Sounds nice, doesn't it? Well, it's actually not a government organization. It's a private organization. And what it does is it tries to get illegal immigrants and refugees into America, by hook or by crook. The shooter was 41-year-old Jivali Vuong, a Vietnamese man. 13 people known dead so far. Let me tell you a few more things about the American Civic Association in Binghamton, New York. They help new immigrants to become citizens. They have hosted events such as the Multi-Ethnic Garlic Festival and the All Nations Ball. Good-hearted leftists taught English to illegals in this place. Their mission was to promote communication between ethnic groups and community. In other words, to hoodwink decent citizens into accepting anyone who arrived on our shores. In 2002, this nefarious group joined the ACLU in sending a letter to then-Attorney General John Ashcroft complaining about increased immigration restrictions. This organization has been a laboratory of left-wing activism, and today their experiment blew up in their faces. They released a Frankenstein on the streets. Now, we don't know all of the details in this horrific rampage yet. What we do know is that the Obama worship by the media has been interrupted for at least a day. We don't know what motivated this insane assassin, though we can make some pretty good guesses. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. We read today in the New York Post that Obama may want to disarm America's nukes. Could you believe it? Obama wants to eliminate nuclear weapons around the world. Is this guy crazy? Classic professorial pie-in-the-sky liberalism. Vietnamese man kills 12 and himself in a shooting rampage in upstate New York in Binghamton. And, of course, there's much more to that story, which we described in the Savage Nation. From Agence France-Presse, Russia's leader, well, his second in command, Medvedev, hails Comrade Obama. That's right. The leader in Russia, Medvedev, hailed Obama as my new comrade. Did he say my nude comrade? No, my new comrade. That's very reassuring. That's really reassuring. From the Associated Press, a degenerate group of bums in black robes says that homosexual marriage is legal in Iowa. From Chicago, the feds have indicted Blagojevich. From ABC News on michaelsavage.com, the former AIG CEO Hank Greenberg says that the feds totally blew the AIG bailout and that American taxpayers cannot expect to get their $180 billion investment back. On the bottom of michaelsavage.com, we have that fun piece from this week of high school 1959 versus high school 2009. You should print it out and read it to your kids. And also, another story, eHarmony has been forced to create a gay dating website. How's that for tyranny? How's that for the tyranny of the minority? A bus ad in Chicago promoting healthy gays has been defaced. How do you like that one? The ads were meant to tell Chicago that health issues for gay men are about more than HIV. And boy, oh boy, somebody defaced those billboards. And here are a few more stories posted on michaelsavage.com. As I told you, the San Francisco sanctuary policy shielded up to 185 illegal alien youths who were held on felony criminal charges. They were shielded from deportation by the vermin who work for any Twosome Newsome, who poses as a nice guy. Watch out for liberals. The road to heck is paved with good intentions, Gavin. These are murderers, drug dealers, and every other kind of lowlife, and you shielded them. 16-year-old arrested for illegal alien smuggling comes to us from the San Diego Union-Tribune. From NBC News, Hungary is on the brink of ruin. Well, what's new about that? It's always been ruined. Play rock and roll. I'm going to take a breather now. That's all. I've given you my monologue. Yeah, all right. Bump and grind. Go ahead. Play bump and grind. Go ahead. Yeah, play bump and grind. Go ahead. Bump and grind with the New World Order. She's a transsexual.
Earth angel.
Dance with the transsexual called the New World Order. The New World Order who has AIDS.
Love you all the time.
Turn it off. Now, is anybody in charge of this country? Is anybody running anything? Who is at the helm of this nation? Who is at the helm of the United States of America? Is there a captain in the house? Or do we have a ship with no one in the wheelhouse? I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
According to a story by Kenneth Timmerman, Osama bin Laden could have been captured by the United States while he was in Iran, but the plan was thwarted. Not by the Iranians, but by the United States government. Ken, what's the truth of this story?
Michael, this is one of the most extraordinary stories I have ever reported on, and I've been working on it for nearly 5 years now. I first met Alan Perreault, who is the source of this information about Osama bin Laden being in Iran under the protection of the Iranian government. I first met him in 2004. I had a similar sighting of bin Laden in Iran from one of my own sources who showed me a photograph of Osama bin Laden in November 2004 meeting with top Iranian government officials, people who were working directly for the Supreme Leader. Well, this time I met Alan Perreault. Alan is really an exceptional, extraordinary individual. When he was a teenager in prep school in New England, he kept a Savannah hawk in his dorm room and chickens that he would feed to the hawk out hunting. He is a falconer. He's a professional falconer. At the age of 19, he went to Iran to work for the Shah of Iran in the 70s. And after that, in the 80s, he was working for Sheikh Zayed, the president of the United Arab Emirates. Alan became a Sikh as a young man. That's a non-Muslim, non-Christian faith. He's a believer in peace, but he is also a conservationist. He has turned against the Arab leaders who at one point befriended him and paid for his services to provide them falcons. And he turned against them because they were exterminating the falcons, trafficking in the falcons, and exterminating the birds of prey, the bald eagles, and the Hubara bustards that they used as prey for the falcons.
Well, I understand that his interest in falcons led him to meet a very notorious person. Tell us how that happened.
During his falconing exploits in Central Asia, Alan Perreault came across a guide who ultimately took him to a Tajik smuggler. And this Tajik smuggler frequently went into Afghanistan and into Iran. And it was there in November 2004, that this smuggler first met Osama bin Laden when he was on a falcon hunt. Our listeners are probably not aware of it. It's not a very well-known fact, but Osama bin Laden is a big falcon hunter, like many people in Saudi Arabia. And in fact, the one time that the U.S. actually had gun sights on Osama bin Laden in February of 1999 inside Afghanistan, it was when he was falcon hunting. And he was falcon hunting there in the southern part of Afghanistan along the Pakistan and Iran border in Balochistan with the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates. And this information is actually in the 9/11 Commission report. It was Richard Clark, then working at the White House, who called off the airstrike by a CIA Predator and other U.S. Missiles that were going to attack him because the UAE foreign minister was in the falcon camp in that southern part of Afghanistan. So bin Laden's a big falcon hunter. And this Tajik smuggler who first sighted him, first went with him on a falcon hunt in November 2004, told Alan Perreault in a 55-minute videotaped interview that asked him that since 2004 he has met with bin Laden at least once a year for six meetings altogether over the past 5 years. And he says that bin Laden is in Iran. All of these meetings have taken place in Iran. The Iranian regime has sheltered him during this time. And in fact, when the Tajik smuggler was meeting him, there were Iranian officials around.
We have an American who's disenchanted with Arab leadership and regular contact with OBL. Well, what did he do with this information?
Alan Perreault gave this information, as you can imagine, to the U.S. government. He offered it to the CIA. He offered it to the FBI. He made sure through a whole slew of intermediaries, including a member of Congress, a member of the United States Senate, and a three-star general, he made sure that this information made it into the U.S. intelligence system. And this as early as 2005. The answer that he got back systematically was, we are not interested. We don't care if Osama bin Laden is in Iran. We are not going to go get him. We're not going to stop him. We're not going to demand that the Iranians turn him over. Well, this led Perreault to see if there was another solution. And so in the past couple of years, he's been working with a group of former British SAS Special Forces operatives and others to insert a snatch team into Iran to kidnap Osama bin Laden and bring him out and turn him over to the U.S. authorities. Well, that plot didn't succeed, and it didn't succeed for one extraordinary reason, is that the FBI told him that they would throw him in jail if he went through with this. That is just an amazing statement, Michael. I don't know if you can measure the import of that. The Federal Bureau of Investigation did not want a U.S. citizen plotting to kidnap and render Osama bin Laden to the U.S. authorities. They had no interest in capturing Osama bin Laden, even though the State Department has a Rewards for Justice page which offers $25 million to any American or anybody else who can do precisely that. The U.S. government under President Bush and today under President Obama has no interest in jailing or capturing Osama bin Laden. They don't want the man alive. They want him dead. Today, of course, the reason for the administration not wanting bin Laden alive is because he will undoubtedly tell the world that he was in Iran all of these years and that the Iranian regime was sheltering him and that the Iranian regime, in fact, bears a great responsibility for the 9/11 attacks. I have also been working, Michael, and I've written to document Iran's direct material involvement in the 9/11 plot, and I can tell you here just briefly, there is an extensive amount of information on this, including eyewitnesses who personally took part in meetings between Iranian government officials and al-Qaeda operatives before 9/11. The meetings took place in Iran. And we also have eyewitnesses. I've also spoken to people in the Revolutionary Guards who were sent into Afghanistan to liaise with al-Qaeda and the Taliban before 9/11. So there's a great deal of information here. It's not been coming out. The so-called mainstream media doesn't want to touch this story. The U.S. government does not want to touch this story. And it really has only been private individuals such as Alan who have been making sure that some of this information gets out.
What's the upshot of this story, Ken? Where does it go from here?
Stay tuned. There's a lot more to happen. There is a lawsuit by some of the families of 9/11 victims, led by Fiona Havlish and Ellen Saraceni, who's the wife of one of the pilots that was murdered, whose throat was slit by the kidnappers and the murderers on 9/11. They are suing the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and this information will come out, Michael. I'm telling you, it will come out, both of Iran's direct material involvement in the 9/11 plot and the fact that they have been sheltering Osama bin Laden in Iran and continue to. You'll find an extraordinarily detailed story about this up at the website. Thank you.
Kenneth Timmerman, thanks for being on the Savage Nation. Savage. I'll be right back. As you know, I think Janet Napolitano is not up to the job as head of the Department of Homeland Security. She's shifting resources from workplace enforcement to border enforcement. Well, why can't we do both? I'd like to bring on Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who's been on top of this immigration issue during his terms in Congress. Congressman King, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks, Michael. It's really a pleasure to be back with you again. You have a lot of listeners across the country that intensively listen to you. I can tell by the phone calls I get. And this subject that you brought up, that it has to do with Janet Napolitano's decision as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security to shift resources for illegal immigration enforcement from the interior, from worksite enforcement, down to the southern border. Now, I am one who has been strongly in favor of enforcing our borders. I say we have to stop the bleeding at the border. We need to do that first. Yet the decision that's made by Janet Napolitano rings to me this way, and that is, for years as I've dealt with the Mexican Congress and members of the administration and the cabinet, they have constantly brought up the argument that they wanted to shut down American guns going into Mexico. But I'm seeing an initiative, an anti-gun initiative that's taken place, and I think they're using this case for cover. So you'll hear administration officials constantly parroting the phrase that 90% of the weapons that are used to commit crimes in Mexico come from the United States.
Well, they've got to be twisting the facts here. The numbers aren't credible.
That number's just not true, Michael. It's a lot closer to 17%, not 90%. we can't solve the violent problem they have in Mexico by taking our ICE agents and our interior immigration enforcement people and taking them down to the border and asking them to turn their backs to the Mexican border, look north, and guard against legal American guns being smuggled into Mexico where they become illegal, or the cash that accompanies them that is the result of illegal drug sales in the United States. I don't mind helping the Mexicans out on this, but that's really the job of the Mexican Border Patrol. They should be, then, if they're worried about that, looking north and trying to intercept those guns if that's what they're concerned about. But we need all of our resources that we can muster down on the border. I'm for beefing it up more. I just say let's look south with our people, not north, and intercept not guns and money going south so much. If we come across it, that's fine. But our real effort needs to be on illegal people, illegal aliens, and illegal drugs that are going north. And this shift that's taken place within our policy really is something that hasn't been picked up yet, I don't think, in the media. I don't think that it has been public enough. But I've sensed this from the arguments against American guns going south, that 90 percentile number. It's got to be a number that's almost manufactured. There is, though, Michael, a 90% number that is relevant here in this discussion, and that is 90% of the illegal drugs that are consumed in the United States come across the border from Mexico. They aren't all manufactured there. Some come from points south, such as Colombia. But 90% or more of the illegal drugs used in the United States come from Mexico. And I can give you a 100% number that comes to me from the drug enforcement agencies, and I've asked many of them. And that number is, when I ask the question of what would happen to the illegal drug distribution in America if magically tomorrow morning everybody woke up in the country that they were legal to reside or work in. In other words, if everybody were magically deported overnight, what would happen to the illegal drug distribution system in America? And the answer to that is invariably and always that at least one link out of the illegal drug distribution chain is a link that's connected by someone who is here illegally. So it would shut down the illegal drug distribution in America overnight if everyone were magically sent back to their home country overnight.
We're talking with Congressman Steve King from Iowa right now. Steve, just think about how much crime could be prevented in the United States.
We just had testimony here in the Judiciary Committee, an individual who lost his daughter to an illegal drunk driver. His name is Professor Tranchant from Virginia Beach. And at the same time, we had a witness from Maricopa County, Sheriff Joe Arpaio's district, who was with his, he was 19 years old, he is an American citizen, his father, I understand, is American citizen, but they're Mexican descent, and they were caught up in a Joe Arpaio roundup down there in Maricopa County, and they were inconvenienced for 3 hours totally, and his father had to, there were no convenient bathrooms, so his father was humiliated by having to go in the dark behind a car, and that compared to Mr. Tranchant losing his daughter, at the hands of a drunk driving illegal who had been several times picked up by local law enforcement and would have been deported had they enforced immigration law at the local level. And it was almost as if the young man from Maricopa County was arguing that his father's embarrassment trumped the life of Mr. Tranchant's daughter. That's where we are, and I believe that if we enforce all our immigration law, and if we do so, whenever we encounter illegals in America, we have to be willing to put them back in the condition they were in before they broke the law. And that does mean send them back home again. If we don't have the will to do that, then we have no basis for immigration enforcement whatsoever. And the argument that comes from the open borders crowd is, well, we only want to spend our resources on the people that are criminals, the violent criminals, or maybe we'll pick up the drunk drivers, but they don't want to enforce it on people that are here illegally. You cannot convince the surviving family members of those who have had a family member die at the hands of someone who was unlawfully here that their daughter, their son, their loved one would not be alive today if we had enforced the law. They know that the matter of circumstances are that it would be different if people were in their home country. We wouldn't be losing Americans that there's. I would, Michael, and in response to that, I would suggest that Janet Napolitano would not redirect resources out of the interior. I presume that's what she's done because this is a zero budget increase It's a transfer of resources from somewhere in the United States down to the border. It has to be coming from worksite enforcement. I can't expect that it's coming from anywhere else. She has said when they raided the engine manufacturing company in the state of Washington that she didn't know about it beforehand, and she conducted an investigation to see if they had a basis to go in and do that raid. I will argue they did have, and that's the highest level that it's ever gone to get an immigration raid on workforce on a worksite enforced. And now she's raised the standard for investigations so high that no one knows if they can ever qualify to meet Janet Napolitano's standard to do another worksite raid. And until that happens, I will say she has, in effect, shut down worksite enforcement in America, but she has certainly redirected resources that could be used for that to the southern border and directed them, and I have sat and looked them all in the eye, and a lot of this was a classified briefing. Out of their mouths constantly came, we've got to interdict the guns and the money going south, and only once was there a mention that there were illegal drugs coming north. Of course, I brought it up significantly at the end of the hearing. But that's the circumstances we have. I think there has been a policy shift in America. I think the shift is away from the worksite. I will be surprised if we have another worksite raid, although I'm going to push as hard as I can to get them. And by the way, when you pick up illegal workers, if they're working there, they are not just someone who happens to be in the United States illegally. They have broken federal criminal law. Because if they're working, they would have had to misrepresent their identity. If they do that, that's fraud at a minimum. And so even those that are visa overstayers, if they're working in America, they are criminals. And those who cross the border illegally, they've violated federal criminal law. And it is a serious criminal misdemeanor for them to do that. The only people that are in this country illegally that are not criminals are those who have overstayed their visa and have not violated the law in another way, such as illegally work.
So why don't we just consistently go after employers?
The public needs to understand that in order to make a case against employers, which I'm very happy to do, we have to start and build a case by the people who are working there illegally, bring charges against them, and then follow the investigation up through the chain of command of the company until you get to the people that are at the top. We did that in Postville, Iowa, and that brought about prosecutions, and I expect that's happened in other places as well. That's what I advocate happen here. Let's turn up the worksite enforcement. Let's keep that going because that has provided a deterrent that's caused at least 1.3 million illegals to self-deport. And the resources that we need on the border, I'm all for a lot of resources on the border. In fact, I have mentioned, I'll say it said emphatically to Secretary Napolitano, I will support you in a request for an expansion of judges and prison beds and the ability to adjudicate illegals. But you need to come to Congress and tell us how many you need. And I'm tired of hearing the excuse that we have to turn people loose because we cannot process them through our legal system. If we process them, eventually they'll stop showing up at our legal system because we will have enforced the law. So that's how I see this, and I'd ask the public to watch closely as this shift takes place. You'll hear more and more politicians, left-wingers, almost all of them, make the argument that 90% of the illegal drugs in Mexico come from the United States. They don't. About 17% do. But if we want to help the Mexicans with their border patrol by interdicting those guns, that's fine with me. But the Mexicans can help us by interdicting illegal drugs coming north. And if there is not a trade-off in that, then we're doing the business of the Mexican Border Patrol at the expense of using those resources to protect our own border.
Well stated, Congressman King. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot, Michael. I appreciate being on and with you again. And this has always been an interesting conversation for us. And I expect that my phone lines will be ringing again as people weigh in on my end. And I trust they're weighing in on your end as well. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you, Steve. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Said other than guesswork, and we're going to do guesswork right now in the Savage Nation. Of course, the lead story is the 14 people killed after a shooting rampage in Binghamton, New York, by a 41-year-old Vietnamese man, apparently by his name. Now, there's a few things that the media is not reporting that I think are worth reporting to you. When you read that this occurred at an immigration center, It is not entirely true. First of all, it's not a U.S. government-funded immigration center. It is called the American Civic Association. The American Civic Association is a radical left-wing organization that runs things such as the Tenants' Rights Forum. They have fought against homelessness. In other words, they work to make certain that illegals become citizens. They shop citizenship applications to the government. In other words, it's a group of do-gooders, and here a Frankenstein amongst them blew up in their face, in my opinion. Now, you've been reading that he was recently laid off from IBM. What does that have to do with this story? The answer is nothing. He didn't go to IBM and shoot anybody, thank God. Terrible wherever it happens, but what's the disconnect in the idiots in the media who say the shooter was recently laid off from IBM? Oh, well, that explains why he killed 14 people at the American Civic Association. So let's use our common sense here, and then I'm going to ask you what you think is behind all of this, because all we can do is speculate. And we have an obligation as Americans to use our minds instead of waiting for the empty suits to cook up a lie. They lied to you about AIG. They lied to you about bank balances. They lied to you about borders. They lied to you about Obama. They lied to you about Iraq. They lied to you about Afghanistan. So while these liars are cooking up a big lie about what happened, we the people will talk about what we think really happened here. The American Civic Association. They ran the All Nations Ball, the Bicentennial Ethnic Festival, the Tenants' Rights Forum. In 2002, they attacked Attorney General John Ashcroft with the ACLU. They're good friends of the ACLU, by the way, complaining about increased immigration restrictions. So in other words, they're against borders, language, and culture. In other words, they're everything that we detest. Now, does that mean we're happy this happened? Of course not. But what happened? Earlier, we were talking about the flow of drugs from Mexico to the U.S. and all the problems that it causes here. Now I've heard that Fox TV is airing a program based on a drugged-out 70s rocker on primetime television. Coming on the Savage Nation to discuss Hollywood is our own Hollywood correspondent, James Herson.
Thanks, Michael. Fox TV is sunk to a new low, even for them, in the form of the Osbournes' new reality show. 7 years after this dysfunctional family became famous for reality television, the Osbournes created what can only loosely be called a variety show. It's called Osbournes Reloaded. They also brought the foul-mouth rants and expletives from their previous show with them. But 16 Fox TV stations refused to air their debut, and another 10 stations moved it out of prime time and into the wee hours of the morning. So the show either didn't air at all or was buried in late night in about 11% of the country. The reason? Scenes with a grandmother in silhouette stripping and playing with her anatomy, an unsuspecting young blindfolded dude tricked into making out with another elderly woman, and two kids mouthing profanities. And look, the placement of the show is immediately after one of the few family-friendly programs these days, American Idol. Fox claims that the show was vetted by their standards and practices department. Hey, I didn't know they had one of those. But so far, the network hasn't scheduled Osbournes Reloaded for another air date. By the way, Rolling Stone doesn't like the show for another reason. The Rock Mag claims that it's unbefitting for Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, because it paints the legendary Black Sabbath singer as a clown. Isn't that what he is?
No kidding. Well, what else are they doing over there?
Hey, another thing that's happening in Hollywood. Hollywood blondes are concerned over a new trend, Michael. According to a new survey, almost a third of women with naturally blonde hair have dyed their hair a darker color. Why? The beleaguered blondes are trying to shake the bimbo stereotype, and they're trying to have their employers and coworkers take them more seriously. The survey was taken of 2,500 women, and 38% of the fair-haired gals said their hair color had been a disadvantage in some way for employment. 62% of the blondes said that brunettes had an edge over them in professional contexts. Now, this threatens the old Hollywood adage that blondes have more fun. A famous brunette actress, Angie Harmon, has not been having fun.
As a matter of fact, she was compelled to say a very revealing statement. "Here's my problem with this. I'm just going to come out and say it," Harmon explained. "If I have anything to say against Obama, it's not because I'm a racist." Why would someone have to say, "It's not because I'm a racist"? She also mentioned that if Bush, McCain, or Reagan would have gone and done the Leno show, the backlash would have been huge, but Obama does it and no one says anything. This just shows political criticism is not welcome on the left. They try to shut people up by labeling them. It just shows what kind of environment the obsequious toads in the liberal media have created.
They want to live in a fantasy land, and nothing can intrude upon that.
Oh, and that brings us to MSNBC host Chris Matthews. You know, the leg thrill guy. He became even more apoplectic than usual over Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann. Bachmann had asked a question of little Timmy Geithner on the subject of a global currency. Matthews hyperventilated. He claimed nobody on the planet is talking about switching to some new multinational currency. See, the issue started when the governor of China's central bank announced that the U.S. dollar should be discarded as the world's reserve currency. Hey, somebody tell Chris Matthews that China is on the planet Earth.
Well, what do you think is really going on with this?
Now, Bachmann had asked Geithner during a Financial Services Committee hearing whether he would denounce efforts to move towards this new global reserve currency. And Geithner said he would. He would denounce it. But a day later, he was speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations, and he said he was quite open to the idea of dumping the dollar for a new world currency. Oh, by the way, George Soros, the UN, Russia, and the aforementioned China all agree with this idea. So we now have a Secretary of State that blames the U.S. for the problems on the Mexican border, and a Treasury Secretary that says he's open to replacing the U.S. dollar with a new global reserve currency. With leaders like these, we don't need enemies, Michael. Well, that's all from my report this week. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for your report. From Hollywood to Washington, D.C., the liberals live in an alternative reality. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.